It is hard to get out in the beginning of the school year. I know that my son is waiting for my phone call and me to Shem afterwards because we have to study for a test. It's not easy to come out, but there are pressing matters at hand. Closing the curtain on the year that was, discovering Kedusha in our daily lives. When I was a young man learning in Tel Yeshiva, I learned, and I was zoicha to learn by Reb David Barkin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he would tell us, and I was 17 at the time, so it's 26 years running. He would tell us that the Michtav Me'elio, Rav Dessler, would suggest that if one wants to be inspired to daven better on Rosh Hashanah, to improve their davening on Yom Kippur, then he recommended that we do a little homework beforehand. And we pull out a piece of paper, such as the one I have here, and we make a list. On one side of the paper, we write good, and on the other side of the paper, we write bad. And we make a list of all the good things and all the bad things that have happened to us, to our families, and to Klal Yisrael in the past year. And I'm sure all of our lists are very private. But there are some things that are very public. Things that have happened to Klal Yisrael as a whole. For instance, on the good side, we'll have all the wonderful things that happened. The babies that were born, the shidduchim that were made, the nachas that we had, the parnasa that we merited. And there's a whole list of it. And each of us have our own list. And that's on the good side. But the bad side is also full. Because on the bad side, we have a list of cholim, of people that are sick from here to eternity. Young woman in Eretz Yisrael, a good friend of my wife's daughter, was crossing the street last week, was hit by a car. We just got the update, and I was reading the update to my wife right before I left. She couldn't hold back the tears. It's a different world than last Rosh Hashanah. It's a world without Gedolim that we thought would be here forever. A Reb Nosson Tzvi I was zoicha to be a Talmud. Who can forget at 2:30 in the morning hearing the news and sitting on the edges of our beds as we cried? And I remember talking to my class, to the eighth grade, and I couldn't get the words out. It's a world without a Rebbe Yashiv. The Poisek Hadar. It's a world without a Rav Scheinberg. He died when he was 101 and a half years old. It's a world without a Rebbetzin Kanievsky. And we look further down the list, and we were introduced to a family in France. A father and his children going to school like we do every day. We were introduced to a beautiful young lady, Miriam Ansonego, an 8-year-old girl, beautiful golden curls, who was murdered in a horrific manner. We were introduced and we davened for things that never happened. Family struggling to make ends meet. Couples struggling to have children. Parents struggling with children who fail to see the beauty of Torah and its way of life. A mother in our city, Rachmana Litzlan, who got sick and it got out of control in Nebuch, her limbs were amputated. And Rav Dessler writes, look at this entire list. Look at the list. And realize that this list was written last year on Rosh Hashanah. It was written by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, by the Almighty, on Rosh Hashanah. And stop for a moment before we open our machzorim to daven, before we take three steps back to say Shemona Esrei, and realize that this year's list is being written right now, as we're about to daven. And my Rebbe told us, if you prepare and you think about your list, your davening will be a different davening. The awesomeness of the moment. We're davening for nothing less than our very lives. But the Rambam tells us that we're sleeping. It's like, Slichus? Really? This morning? Last night? Rosh Hashanah's next week? And probably for most of us the reaction is, I didn't start cooking yet. And we're worried if there's going to be a pomegranate salad, or how I'm going to do a new twist on the marin, on the carrots, that they're not so bad, so everybody's going to push it to the end of the table. Sinis. It's the joke in my house that my mother used to serve it straight through Simchas Torah, whether you like it or not, that Sinis is coming out. That's our worry. That's our concern. We have our lives to be worried about. And we're asleep. But the sound of the shofar tells us, "Uri yishenim mishinaschem v'nirdomim mitirdemaschem." Wake up from your slumber. Arise from your drowsiness. It's time to wake up. There's a sefer called the Sefer HaYitzira, the Book of Creation. I am not a mekubal, but the Sifrei, the Svarim HaKdoshim, the Sifrei Kabbalah, some of them have filtered down to more readable works. And the Sefer HaYitzira, there's certain pieces that have filtered down into Svarim such as the Ari Gedal Yor, Rabbi Gedal Yashar. And he writes, Himlich ois samach b'shina, which means Hashem took the letter samach, and to control, to be misgather, to rule over our sleep, Hashem put the samach in charge, that the samach would be able to somehow allow us to be misgather, to strengthen ourselves over falling into a slumber. Let us understand what these cryptic words mean. You know, nowadays you click on a computer and you can do a search. You want to know anything. I see outside they have the Oitzer HaChochma library. In the 1940s, there was no such mechanism, there was no such invention as a computer. There was a Yid by the name of Reb Shein, the Ohalei Shein, who was killed in the war. Hashem Yimkom Damai, Hashem should avenge his blood. And he said the following thoughts that I've incorporated here tonight. And I think to say such Torah, you have to have Ruach HaKodesh. For instance, he says that Rachel Imeinu Yisrael Tzadik are described as Yifas Toyar Vifas Mare, a beautiful appearance. They were beautiful. Says the Olei Shein that the letter Samach appears in the Torah 1,833 times, the gematria of Yifas Toyar Yifas Mare. And you can save your time, I've checked it multiple times. The ultimate beauty is the letter Samach. The Samach that saves us, that helps us when we're in a slumber. Let's go a little bit further. The Medrash tells us, and Reb Tzadok HaKohen writes about it, that the first time something appears in the Torah, is the first time a letter appears in the Torah, it's the source for that letter. It's the root of that letter, it's what that letter means. Says the Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis Yud Zayin, Perek Yud Zayin in the beginning, he says that the letter Samach appears for the first time in the Torah, Vayisgar Bosar Tachtena. When Hashem seals up Chava, Vayisgar Bosar Tachtena, He closed the flesh beneath her. Closed the incision, if you will. Vayisgar Bosar, He closed it. Samach is from the word Soiger, to close. To feel entrapped, to be closed in without a way out. But the Medrash says, no, there's another Samach. There's a Samach by the words, Hu Hasoiveid, talking about one of the rivers, that it encircles, it goes around. So now we look at this letter Samach, which was enclosing us, trapping us, suffocating us, if you will, and now all of a sudden we are able to somehow have a circuitous route to get out of that encirclement, to save ourselves from being nisgar, from being enclosed, from being trapped. And says Reb Shein, there are indeed two types of samachs. There's the samach which traps you, which encloses you, which suffocates you, which causes you to be asleep. And there's the samach that saves you from that sleep. Soimeich Hashem lechol hanoiflim, we say every day in Hashem. Hashem supports those that have fallen, that have spiritually fallen, that are asleep. Soimeich Hashem l'chol ha'neflim. The letter Samach. The Samach is the key to saving us from being enclosed and entrapped, from being asleep. There was once a Yid, a Jew who was walking by the Kaisel, and he meets the Tolner Rebbe. The Tolner Rebbe was coming from an operation. He had a foot ailment, and the doctor told him to stay off his feet. He did a procedure on him, and he told him to stay off your feet. But he wouldn't listen, and he says, I have to go to the Kaisel. And he goes to the Kaisel Maravi, and he's in terrible pain. He's in agony, and he walks up to the Kaisel. He's bleeding out of his feet. And he cries on the Kaisel, thank you, Rebbeinu Shleim, thank you for saving me, for helping me get a Refuah Shleima. And he hobbles back to his driver, who's by the area over there where the taxis are waiting, and it takes him 15, 20 minutes to get back. It's a half hour, 45 minutes, just walking. And he sees this fellow. And he says, Rebbe Yankel, is that you? He says, oh, Rebbe, don't look at me. Don't even look at me. He says, what are you talking about? Come here, Yaakov. He says, Rebbe, if you knew the averus that I did, you wouldn't look at me. He says, come here, say Shalom Aleichem. What's wrong with you? Rebbe, please, I'm embarrassed. He says, you think for a second that the Rabbeinu Shalom, that the Almighty loves you any less than he loves me? He says, stop it, Rebbe, what are you saying? Stop it. I see you don't believe me. If I swear on the Kosel Ma'arav that the Rabbeinu Shalom loves you every bit as much as he loves me, then you'll believe me. Rebbe, please, don't. I see you're sick. Your foot, please. Come here. And he grimacing in pain, and he stands up, and he begins to hobble over, and he walks one arm around the ankle, one arm around his gabai, and they struggle to get to the Kosel. And he gets to the Kosel, and he puts his arm around the ankle, he puts his hand on the Kosel, and he says, I promise you a shvua d'oraisa, a shvua from the Torah, that the Almighty, the Rabbeinu Shalom, loves you every bit as much as he loves me. Overwhelmed with emotion, he fell to the ground. Sometimes we feel so despondent, so miserable. We promised, all of us, last year in the Elah, we cried from the depths of our hearts, whether we did it here in Shul, or we did it at home holding a baby on our lap, or we did it wherever we were. We promised you we're going to be better, Rabbeinu Shalom. We promise you. Please give us A, B, T, D, E. Give it everything. We'll do our end. Now it's a year later. And are we different? Are we sleeping? Are we sleeping? Comes along the letter Samach. The Rabbeinu Shloim holding the letter Samach, and he says, Soimei Hashem l'chal ha'roishlim, don't be despondent. Don't feel bad. You're wonderful, Klal Yisrael. It's not easy. And I know it's not easy. And I gave you many of these tzaras. I put it in your lap. I gave you the difficult child. I gave you the daughter that doesn't go out. I gave you the sick mother and the sick father. I gave you the tzara when that person is no longer alive. Because I'm going to be here to support you and to hold on to you. But the samach is not done. Says Reb Shem, there are two psukim in the entire Torah that begin with the letter samach. Soru maher min aderech, after Klal Yisrael does a sin. Turn away from here. The samach hasoiger, the one that encloses us, that suffocates us. But there's one letter samach that appears elsewhere in the Torah. Slach no la'avoyno omazeh. Forgive Klal Yisrael for the sins they've done. Don't let them wallow in self-pity. Don't let them struggle. Don't let them be noifling. The Samach is there to help. Twice in the Aseres HaDibros, in the Ten Commandments, the letter Samach appears. The first time, Loisase lecho fesel. You cannot make for yourself an idol. Granted, we don't have idols in our houses anymore. Hashem took away that taiva, that desire for avodah zarah. Nobody has a geshke in their house. But there's a lot of things we have in our house that we're addicted to. If my wife was in the crowd, she would be holding up her phone and saying, admit it. I'm addicted to my phone. I come home at night and my wife wants to talk to me. What do you want? Yeah, sure. My daughter videoed it without me knowing. There's other things we have in our house. The access we allow our families to on the internet. The obsessions that we have about things that we want and we desire. It's going to cause you to suffocate. You're going to be yearning to hold on to something greater. To reach up, to hold on to the hand of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's the Samach HaSoyger, Loisasa L'Chofesel. But there's one more Samach, says Reb Shein. And that is, Noitzer Chesed La'alofim. The one who repays kindness to the thousands, to the 10,000s. Two samachs in Aseres Hadibros. One is the soyer. One traps us. One is the soyvev. One saves us. The Or HaMeir writes, samach is samach mem chof. Slicha, mechila, kapara. Forgiveness, pardon, and atonement. No one's stuck. No one is trapped. We can change. If we would know how one step forward shakes heaven and earth. Reb Shimshin Meostropolia, who lived in the early 1600s, he was murdered in Zeres Tachvitat in 1648-1649 during the pogroms with Bogdan Khmelnytsky and Yimach Shemoy B'Zichroi. May his name be obliterated. Reb Shimshin Meostropolia was known amongst the Sifrei Kabbalah, his mastery of gematria, of Rosh Tevis, of acronym and numerical values, of the secrets of the Torah are unparalleled. And Reb Shimshin says that one time he met the Sotah. It's Elul. And it's right before Rosh Hashanah. And he meets the Sotah, and the Sotah's a mess. He says, what's wrong? He says, what's wrong? Have you looked around? Have you seen what the Jewish people are doing? They're doing tshuva. They're killing me. Okay. It's not such a bad thing. He sees them after Yom Kippur. He's got a big smile on his face. He says, what are you all happy about? He says, you think I took it sitting down? I went up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I went up to God and I said to him, help me here. What are we going to do about this? You know what he told me? He said, there's a ship of Lulavim and Esroigim coming. All the Lulavim and Esroigim of the region are on a ship. Sink the ship. Really? You can sink the ship? Yeah. Sink the ship. You got to save a few of them. Okay? He says, so what's the problem? He says, well, you told me to sink the ship. It's fantastic. That's why I'm happy. He sees him right before Simchas Torah, and the Satan is sobbing. He's crying. He says, what's wrong? He says, remember I told you about that ship? I sunk it. We saved a few of the love of Esrei. You know what those Yidden did? There was one Lulav and Esrei. for miles. They lined up for miles. The women, they sold their jewelry. To do what? So that one town can have a lulav and esrei, and that these people could shake a lulav and esrei once over an entire yom tov. You want to know why I'm crying? Every shake of that lulav and esrei was a stab in my heart. That's what our tshuva can do. That's what one little act of Mesiras Nefesh can do. It can take the satan and destroy him. One little step forward. We do seemingly an insignificant act, and we do it from the beginning of Slichus until the end of Ne'ilat. Until this year, I never, ever took notice of it or thought that it meant anything. And this is it. Move away the Pareiches, and then move it back. Hundreds of times, every time we open our, we take the Pareiches, we move it to the side. And then we push it back. Yeah, because we want to open the Arim. There's no small acts that are done. Discovering Kedusha in our daily lives. Do we realize that every time we feed our children breakfast, we are doing an act of chesed, an act of kindness? Do we realize that every time we support our husband with an encouraging word, we are doing an act of chesed, an act of kedusha, an act of kindness? Do we realize that even though we don't have time to daven during the day, but we say, Hashem, thank you, this morning went so well, that those tefillahs, those prayers, are the most exalted, elevated prayers in heaven. There's kedusha in our lives. We just need to remove the covering. Dig deep. Look at the layers beneath every act we do. And every time we open the Pareiches, we're saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we know there's more. We know that behind the mundane lies the holy. We understand that we are the Neshei Chayil. We are the women who bravely stand before our families. And yet when it comes time to taking credit, we are willing to take a step back and let everybody else get the honor and glory. We understand that that's our role, Ribbono Shel Olam, and we embrace it. And we are willing to be the Akeres Habayis, because we know that that's what you want from us. And we know that Shasani Kirtzoinoi, that we are in tune with your Ratzon. And that every step we take is because we are connected to you. We understand that the ultimate praise for a woman, Yifas Toyar, Yifas Mare. We understand that we are the Samach, that is Soivev. We understand that we are the ones that are the rock of our families. And that we are Halik, we are holy and special. We understand that all. We take the Pareiches and we move it to the side and we open it up and we say we understand that there is Kedusha in our lives. We understand that our children are given to us. And they were given to us because the Ribbono Shel Olam understands that my neshama as a mother is best suited for my child and was chosen by the Almighty to feed that child ruchnius and gashmius because of all the billions of neshamas in this world. Mine is unique and uniquely designated for that. I was in Eretz Yisrael last week and I met with Reb Tzvi Meir Silverberg, who's a cousin of mine, who's an Ish Kodesh Vitar, he's a holy person. 2:30 in the morning in the Satner Beis Medrash, I sat with him. My neshama, I told my wife, it sounds cheesy, but my neshama was soaring. And I was telling him about the class that I'm teaching this year. And there's a whole change in the school system. And because of that, I was given a larger class, and I was given the best class. And normally I don't teach the best class. And I'm very comfortable with that role. And he told me this. Don't think that the Manal made a decision, the principal made a decision, and the board decided they didn't want to hire a Kippur Rebbe, and everything, and therefore you're teaching that class. No. You are teaching this class because Hashem decided that your neshama is the best neshama in the world to feed the neshamas of those children. That child cannot grow in any greater way than by feeding off of your neshama every day in that classroom. And when I went to speak this over with somebody, they told me it's a davar pashut. It's very simple. Just as a mother is given her child, specifically given her child, because Hashem decided that her child can best grow from her. So you as a Rebbe are the ruchnius dikimama. You're the spiritual mother. You hear? That is the understanding of Ella, of waking up from a slumber and realizing, whoa, we are special. We are uniquely gifted and talented. And when I leave my husband home with the kids for 20 minutes, because I haven't been out of the house for 3 days, he's tearing his hair out. And you do this all day long. Because you're gifted by the Rebbeinu Shem to be patient and loving. And there's a paroiches that covers it. But when we remove the paroiches, we understand there's kedusha in our daily life. If we would realize that our entire existence is nothing more than a mashal. I have a cousin who speaks by Sheva Brachos, and he starts off his speech, not a particularly exciting speaker, and he gets up and he says, I'm going to say the same